Our goal this afternoon is to keep the meeting informal and conversational. We will share some updates about what's going on with United Methodist Communications. We want to move into the shop talk format, which will include Q&A and open mic time. And now I would like to ask staff from United Methodist Communications to please stand and briefly introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Caitlin Condon, and I am the Training and Development Manager with UNCOM.
I'm Tim Tanton, and I work with the content teams at UNCOM.
Jennifer Rodia, I work with the advertising and branding for UNCOM.
I'm Fran Code Walsh. I work mainly with UMC.org and UMTV with UNCOM.
Patrick Jones, Communications Training and Technology.
I'm Kate Panovic. I work with the Annual Conference Relations Team and supervise the Video Production Department.
Heather Hahn, United Methodist News Service reporter.
Sophia Updurak, Minister of Online Engagement.
And Amoria James, Conference Relations Coordinator with United Methodist Communications. Do we have other general agency communicators here? I would like for you all to stand and please introduce yourself.
I'm Sharon Dean, Director of Communications for GCFA.
Thank you. At this time, I would like to now introduce our General Secretary, Reverend Mary Holland.
Thank you.
Good afternoon. It's been a long day, but it hasn't been that long. I'll talk really briefly, but we wanted to share with you some new directions that UNCOM is taking. And the staff who are responsible for many of these programs will actually speak in much greater detail. Recently, within the last 6 months, I had a chance to go to Haiti with a volunteer admission team who are committed to putting computer centers in local churches for children's education exposure. And during that trip, one of the things that we were able to do in the Tomas Methodist Church in Haiti, a local church in Haiti outside of Port-au-Prince, about 30 miles or maybe more, was to see how the children who had never before been exposed to computers would react the first time they were brought into this computer center. Now, Tomas does not have any electric power through the power grid. So this ICT 4D, Information Communication Technology for Development program, is run off of a solar array with four batteries, and it runs from the solar array through the upstairs portion of the church and down into the basement. And this little girl, who you see looking so intently at this computer screen, was among a group of about two dozen children who came in. Remember, these little kids had not ever before been able to sit in front of a computer screen. And this little girl sat down and waited patiently for the adults who were going to turn the computers on to turn them on. And then she watched with real fascination as the screen login began to sequence through. And she leaned forward, and she looked, and she leaned back and considered, and leaned forward again, and then she leaned back, and they showed her by taking her finger and putting it on the keyboard, she could make that screen change. And when she did, her eyes just widened. And so you can see how intently she is focused on that. That little girl's world changed at that moment, and it will never again be the same. It opened up to her an entirely new world that she did not know about. We then walked across the street to do something, I'm not even sure what, and we saw another little girl. It's hard to see on this slide, but if you look right up here, this is a mother, and this is a little girl about the same age as the one who was in the church with the computer center. This little girl and her mother are washing their clothing and their dinner dishes in this drainage ditch that is flowing underneath that culvert. And so you have the contrast of these two children and the reality of the contrast of their future and the difference that a communication center could make for this little girl as well. The reality is for many children in Africa who are off the grid and who don't have the opportunity to engage the internet and get the information that is available on the internet are more likely to experience life as this little girl if the church does not become involved with others to provide information and communication technology so that they can improve their lives. What this does is provide them with skills that if they become certified in some way, and we are working in Haiti to provide training that can be certifiable so that they have world-class skills, they can then get jobs that enter into the market that is more available to them than working in ways like this, which are not suitable for the mother or for the daughter, and can begin to develop a new way to flourish in their lives. I have said to the UNCOM staff and to the UNCOM Commission, I've been involved in doing communication globally for 30 years, and it's only in the last few years with information and communication technology that I believe I've seen a game changer in terms of what the church can offer for development in a really significant way. And so ICT4D is one of the things that we at UNCOM are working toward and will continue to work toward to build conditions for a better life for people in the developing world. That said, one of the things that we are doing that we are really excited about is with cell phone technology, or mobile phone technology as it's known in Africa and the Philippines, we're now able for the first time in the history of the United Methodist Church to map the entire global United Methodist Church. We can provide cell phones to our communicators, cell phones which have GPS capabilities. They can go out, take a picture, identify the location, and shoot that up to a mapping program that we are working with Ushahidi. Ushahidi is an open source software that then can be located on a global map. And so for the first time, we are within the capacity of the United Methodist Church to map the whole church. We have tested in three locations the reliability of this, and in each case, under really difficult circumstances, one being in the DR Congo, which is not an easy place to move about, in fact, this mapping program has been demonstrated to work. Therefore, we will be announcing at the Council of Bishops meeting, in collaboration with the African bishops and the bishops in the Philippines, the first mapping project for the global United Methodist Church, and that will happen in a in just a couple of weeks. We're implementing a computer lab in Haiti as a test project to see where those labs might be useful and how they might be useful in other locations. And we're planning, as a part of our ICT4D network, a global meeting of practitioners in the field. What's really interesting to me is that when we as a church get involved in a way that makes a difference, we attract others. And so we have attracted the interest of the Intel Corporation, of the Cisco Corporation, we've attracted the interest of Microsoft, and we've attracted the interest of the Global Mobile Phone Trade Association. And that's called the GSMA. And the executive director of the GSMA has already committed to coming from London to speak at the UNCOM ICT4D conference that will take place in November in Nashville at Opryland. I would hope that you all can put that on your calendar and perhaps attend that meeting as well. We are particularly concerned to invite people who are volunteers in mission who are traveling from the U.S. To different places around the world and are interested in ICT so that they can work with practitioners who will be in this conference. We have folks from Mobile Medic, which is an open source mobile SMS text messaging program that allows hospitals to text message patients who are HIV patients or malaria patients or others who are not in the hospital but need to be reminded to take medicine, need to know when the clinic will be open, need to know when the doctors will be available, need to know other kinds of medical information. And these are text messages that they are already using. We've been doing a lot of training at UNCOM of health workers in Africa in particular using Mobile Medic. We're also working with Frontline SMS. Frontline SMS is a text messaging system that allows one person to text message many people. And that's particularly important in Africa because each text message can cost the person who sends. And if you are able to broadcast through Frontline SMS, you can send a message to 200 people on your mobile phone list for the cost of one text message. And so it's a key to helping districts and annual conferences in Africa who until now have not had the ability to have same-day messaging to have that messaging at a reasonable cost. Some of you may have heard me tell the story that one of the ways that messages often get transmitted, and you may have experienced this yourself in Africa, is that if the bishop can't reach the local church pastor who's out in the bush at the end of the road and beyond the end of the road, he has to give a written note to a bus driver. The bus driver carries it to the end of his line and gives it to someone else who carries it into the location at the end of the road. Well, now we have the capacity to speak immediately through text messages to those folks at the end of the line at essentially no cost to them. The other thing that I wanted to speak to you about is the work of that you're doing in many of your conferences across the U.S. For Imagine on Malaria. Especially want to say this to you because if you will remember, those of you who are longtime members of UMAC, we had a meeting in Indianapolis, and I believe it was about 5 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. More? Time flies when you're as young as I am. In any case, Bishop Bickerton came and spoke to UMAC, and he presented a program called Nothing But Nets. And the UMAC communicators took that message from Indianapolis and within days began to promote that message at annual conferences across the church. And you all started a movement called Nothing But Nets that raised, in the first couple of years, $10 million to provide bed nets for people across Africa. But then Nothing But Nets morphed into something even larger, and that is the Imagine No Malaria campaign, which seeks to raise $75 million before its end date, which is about 2 years from now. I can report to you today that we have raised in cash and pledges $53 million, and we're well on the road toward, I think, meeting that goal of $75 million by the end of the 2 years left in the campaign. And I attribute a significant part of the attention that Nothing But Nets and Imagine No Malaria have gotten to you and to the work that you did by promoting Imagine No Malaria. We're also connecting the church in new ways to serve and moving the church forward, trying to build some bridges across the connection. We are working with the general boards and agencies to achieve brand harmony. And brand harmony simply means to try and get us all into the use of the cross and flame as the logo of the church, and to consistently deliver messages across the general agencies that are harmonious with each other, that are not independent of each other, and don't fragment the messages of the church. We are also working to support the Team Vital through Vital Congregations and Path One. We're working on strengthening the United Methodist identity. And so you will see in our Rethink Church advertising right now that we are working to show folks who are in the church as well as seekers outside the church who we are as United Methodists, committed to a form of social holiness as well as personal holiness. And our advertising is reflecting that through Rethink Church. We're equipping leaders through communications by doing different kinds of online training and face-to-face training for communications. And we're empowering people to effect change in their local congregations wherever they are around the world. We've created a new position that I want you all to be aware of, and I will introduce the new executive director for annual conference relations in just a moment. That position is intended to help us develop even more direct relationships with each other, you all and UNCOM, working together on our common concerns for communication. We're sponsoring a communicators conference in 2014, in January 26th through 29th in Nashville. And Caitlin and Patrick will say more about that in a moment, but we hope you can have that on your calendar as well. We're doing a redesign of UMC.org with an emphasis on greater access to resources and promotion of conference content. And as a part of this whole redesign, one of the things that is now happening is we have four websites that we're working with that will provide easy access to United Methodist Church products that are offered by the boards and agencies. That website, I believe, is up and running. It's called UMC Marketplace, I think. I should have had it in my head. UMCmarket.org. We're developing a common website where all of the offerings for training of all of the boards and agencies will be accessible in one location. We're doing the same for a website for scholarships, so that if you know someone, young person who's looking for a scholarship, they don't have to apply to GBGM and to GBOB and to UNCOM and to three or four other locations, or get on those websites in any case. They can go to one website. And we're working on a common website that similarly offers worship materials in one central doorway. We've also begun a new UMNS update, doing connectional and global news in a customizable newsletter formats. Tim can say more about that, or one of our UMNS staff will speak to that in a moment. But it's an attempt to work with you in a new way to to provide a format for news that is usable to you in your annual conference, as well as a useful format for providing global information to church persons. And we're working in Rethink Church to provide grants for community events and for regional advertising support. We've been doing this, but we're now focusing on it in a whole different way, and Jennifer has some additional information about that. And we're preparing to relaunch Interpreter Magazine with a new emphasis on United Methodists who are active in the faith, and it is less about the institutional programs of the church than it is about the people of the church and how they are acting as United Methodist Christians. So now I want to introduce our new Executive Director of Conference Relations, who is on the road meeting with bishops and annual conference communicators to understand the work that is happening in annual conferences, to lift up stories that are significant that need to be extended beyond the annual conference and that we can be helpful with, and who is also attempting to bring back those stories to UMCOM so that they shape our work as we move going forward. And that new executive director is a new person whose face you've never seen before. It's Kate Henry.
What he's not telling you is why he really gave me this job. And that is because when we sit in core leadership meetings, we have, as you know, many talented people at UMCOM who have brilliant ideas. And repeatedly, they come up, you know, at core leadership, we'll talk about all the different things that are going on. And I am always asking the same question as Larry pointed out when he offered me this job. Because I look at everybody and say, that's a fabulous idea, but now tell me, if I'm sitting in my local church in Richmond, Ohio, why do I care about that? What can I do in my church or in my annual conference? Why would I want to do that? And he actually told me he gave me this job because he got sick listening to me say that. No, I really am excited about this new opportunity. And many of you know Roya James. Where did she go? Roya's been, stand up a minute, Roya, so they can see you one more time. Roya has been working with many of you over the last several years as liaison from United Methodist Communications. Roy and I are working very closely together to improve communication among the United Methodist Communications staff and those of you who are serving annual conferences, local churches, and districts. So basically, if you don't remember anything else about what I say, but you do remember that somebody else from UMCOM said something really profound, and you can't remember who they were, call me, and I will connect you to the right person. If you have a question about something regarding the church or United Methodist Communications or even another agency, I can assure you that the agencies now have communications people, or excuse me, annual conference relations people. Scott Brewer, for example, at GCFA. Jeff Campbell at GBOD. We're all working together to try to just keep you all connected with the material, the information that you need, and the resources that you need. So if you come up with something you're not sure who to call, please call my office. We'll be happy to connect you. One of the things that we're working on right away that you'll be most interested in is trying to establish communication among jurisdictional teams. So if you're interested in, we're thinking maybe twice, maybe three times a year, that we'll just touch base with you, real quick, cyber calls, you know, web calls, or Google Hangouts, or some way to communicate with you. But we basically just want to touch base with you, see what you're doing, see if there's some great story that you want us to help follow up on, see if there's resources that you need, or if you just have something going on that's really awesome, and you want to share it and kind of throw out an idea with the group, we're here to help you connect with one another. So we are looking forward to being in touch with you again. I brought old school business cards as well as my business card in electronic format so we can compare notes and information. Some of you I've already talked with, but please, I am looking forward to working with you, and if there's anything at all we can do to connect you with the folks behind me or people out there doing ministry similar to yours, I'd be happy to be a part of that. So with that, I'm going to hand the mic over to Patrick. Thank you.
Hello. You can have that one, and we'll just
do it.
But don't worry, I'm not going to send you. Don't worry. What you got, Kate?
So, as Larry mentioned, we're going to have a communicators conference in January. We have the 26th up here. You'll arrive on the 26th. and it will go until Wednesday the 29th. And the intent of this is, Patrick and I have been there, it'll be a year in November for Patrick and December 1st for me. It's an easy one for me to remember. But since we've been there, we've been getting different requests from annual conferences and different requests from local churches to come and do trainings and that they need resources and tools. So whenever we were designing this, it really is the end user being the local church. We want to try and work together with the annual conferences to bring training tools and new skills and information and resources to the local churches. So we've been getting a lot of questions about the content of this conference. And it is going to be learning new training skills. The training that we've built, since we've been there, we've built two new online programs, and we've been traveling around and delivering those face-to-face. So we'll be giving you the content from that and tools and just tips on how to engage your audience for that training. And there'll also be tools, as Larry mentioned, ICT4D. We'll have speakers from all different areas of United Methodist Communications giving you the tools and resources. So if you want to, if you have people from local churches that are trying to connect globally, you'll learn about those tools. Our public relations staff will talk about crisis communication. Kay will be there talking about her area. So it'll be trying to give you those tools and resources that the local churches are looking for. And if Patrick, maybe have a few ads.
Well, and not only will we have the content for the two new training courses that we've got around communicating faith in the 21st century and vital congregations, we are also in the process of overhauling some of the previous content that we had as well. So areas such as web ministry, local church communications, marketing, Rethink Church, and impacting your community with events and volunteerism. So all of those are areas that are going to be encompassed in some of this content that's going to be available to you. And we want to help you, build those training skills and equip you so that not only can you resource your annual conference in your local churches. From time to time, UMCOM may also call on you to say, hey, we got a call from this church. Would you might be able to go over and help us out with that? So it's really going to help build up that training network that had started to take off a few years ago, but has kind of fallen short here lately. We want to see if we can get that built back up and get that growing again.
And just some logistics on that. You do need to register by Monday, January 6th, and UMCOM will be paying free registration, travel, and hotel for one communicator from each annual conference. And if you have more than that want to attend, for example, we have some already signed up with three or four from an annual conference, then we'll work with you. I'll have my business cards up here. We have sent out an email so you can contact us, and we'll try and accommodate as much as we can in terms of travel and things like that.
And you can register at communicators.umctraining.org.
One more time.
communicators.umctraining.org.
Register by the 6th, January 6th.
Yeah. We'll send out reminders.
Yeah, we'll be sending out reminders and emails. Absolutely. as we go along over the next few months.
You'll get an email blast.
Two, three.
Exactly. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm Fran, and Caitlin is going to give you a sneak peek of the new UMC.org design. We've been building redesign on the site almost a year now, and any of you who've ever built a house know that it's tricky to build a house, and it's really tricky to build a house for 11 million people. So pray for us and give us your input and say what you like in your room, etc. So I like to say Cross and Flame is the new black, and we're going to go with the black and red theme throughout the site. We're going to play on our strengths. We're lucky at UMCOM. We have Mike DeBose and Katz Berry and a lot of strong photographers. Kay Panovic will be seeing a lot of her pictures. And I know you have strong pictures too, so we're going to try to engage people with the imagery in addition to the other content on the site. I made this a little bit blown up because I was hoping you could see the navigation. Hopefully you can see it fairly well from where you are. Broken into five easy pieces. Who we are, what we believe, how we serve, news and media, and resources. We know from our research that that's what people look for on UMC.org. I bet you money that's what people look for on your annual conference site too. And hopefully we can help you and provide some content that works you know, you don't have to reinvent it. You can use the UMC.org content and put it on your site because your users want that too. You can go ahead. I know that photos are a big thing that annual conference communicators need and turn to us to help them with, and we're glad to do that. We're lifting up our photo features more obviously in the new design. There'll be a whole, the news section hopefully will be, and I suspect that most of you, that's the area you're going to work in the most. It's going to have, you can see on the left nav, obviously it's going to have some top news stories. We have our special coverage series, and I want you to be encouraged to send us what special coverage series you have. So if we are about to do the Sandy one-year anniversary, that would fall under special coverage. We have, you know, regular series that come out as a UMNS team, but we know you have series too. We'd love to include in there. We will have a video and audio section set apart so you'll be able to see the UMTV stories. We hope to build up much more audio. Right now we always do an audio podcast of the UMTV stories, but we don't have as much in the form of sermons, other things that maybe you guys know about that we could add here too that would be useful for others around the whole church. The press center will be part of the news and media section. It's not news, it's the press center, but it's where media can go to get stats about the United Methodist Church, to work with Diane to get press releases, so they fall under the same bucket. They're not the same thing, and you guys know that, but hopefully that will be obvious to those outside the church who are coming to UMC.org. Also, they'll be able to find it easily there. And you know about RSS feeds. One of the things I wanted to ask you today, beg you, actually, get a really short little questionnaire. What do you need from UMC.org? What do you have that might be part of UMC.org that we maybe don't know about? Maybe we don't know that your bishop has a blog online or other things that we really want to cross-promote. How can we cross-promote on the annual conference sites with UMC.org? So if you would, at the end, please take a second, take one of these. There's only like 5 questions. I sure would appreciate it if you take a minute. It's old-fashioned, I know, but it gives me all kinds of great information. And we went to the annual conference, some of the annual conferences this year, and brought a little bit about the new design and talked a little bit to folks who were annual conference attendees. But I really need, you communicators can give us so much input and help us understand if this is going to work for you, this makes sense to you, or this is, you don't understand why we went with that, and maybe we need to rethink that terminology or that placement, and you can find something easily. So we appreciate all that input. There's a prize too. You can get a wonderful screen wipe. If you've already gotten one, you should get another one at least. You can come get the survey. And my card's up here too, if you can contact me. I don't think there's not a ton more to tell you. We plan to launch at the beginning of the year. We're going to have a soft launch, I'm sure, before that, but it's a big site, so we're gonna make sure it looks good and everybody can use it easily. So look for that in January of 2014. We need your help also we're enhancing the Find a Church section a lot, a whole lot. We're encouraging local churches to let that become a mini site for their church, and our staff has upped their time and emphasis on that so that we can make them beautiful. And you all know that the only way people can find the churches is if they go into Find a Church. So please help us that constant plea, update, Find a Church. And when you see it on the new site, we'll just love it. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to have photo features. It's going to have ministries they do. I hope all the local churches will be encouraged to, if they already weren't convinced they need it, once they see that, they'll be proud of that. Daily Digest will be there that I know you need and use. Lots of other items that hopefully are coming in. Yeah, I guess I can take a question then.
Yes. Am I allowed to?
I have a few more colleagues, but go ahead.
Well, I just wondered if we have linked from our conference website to your site,
mm-hmm.
Are we going to have to change all those? Are they going to change?
Many URLs are going to change, yes. Not all, but many are. We are in the Contera system now, and we're switching over to Expression Engine. So not unlike our sister agencies that have changed, there will be some broken links. Hopefully we'll give you enough lead time that won't be a crisis. We're dealing with that. We deal with that every day in our work, too, that things pop up that are no longer there. And that's, I think, unfortunately, people know that's a reality of working in the web.
Yeah,
anyway,
we know now we need to check all those.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think
I have a piece of trivia.
And Kay would like to share her trivia.
Does anybody have any idea how many pages there are at the UMC.org website? I just thought you might be intrigued to know this.
3,612.
166,000 pages of content. So again, we ask a little bit of grace here, knowing it's taking us a little longer than we anticipated, but I can guarantee you that it's going to be a great site, and Fran and the team has done amazing, amazing work. And it is a responsive design, too, so it'll work on iPads and cell phones and all that. So.
Thank you, Kay. That was my main little cheater point I was supposed to say. Also in the news section, we're going to break it into regional news, sort of in areas of the world, not continents, but areas. And maybe in phase three, we'll be able to break it down actually to the jurisdictions and the conferences. So that's a goal for us, definitely, to help you personalize. But we do need your news to add in there, so don't forget. Did I say that enough? And now Tim. Excuse me, Jen.
That's okay, we work great together. Okay, this will be really fast. While I'm talking, Sophia's going to be passing out a flyer. It's a follow-up to what Larry was sharing about the ICT4D work, because we're going to be having another conference in Nashville, and specifically for, you know, BIM teams, people who are going on overseas missions and they want to know how to use appropriate technologies. This is your chance to learn that, and we're hoping that churches and conferences will send teams of people who can use and learn this technology. Also, in follow-up to what we were talking about with the brand harmony, the general secretaries met together. The question of how we brand our church and this denomination is certainly not a new question. It's been ongoing. But when we were challenged with it, we started, of course, with research like we often do. And the big key question, you know, that was coming out of that and health focus groups, several of you here in the room helped me with those focus groups, Greg, Anne Marie, again, thanks up to her, UMR was helpful in hosting those. We were asking, you know, what does it mean to be United Methodist? And we were really talking to our membership, and although we addressed clergy and people overseas, and we tried to look at the whole church, we really wanted to hear what our members thought. Three things came out of that. I'm going to go through them quickly, and I can give you more information about this research if you are more interested. But could you click ahead for me? So the first theme that came out, I don't think is a surprise to anyone, the idea that we want to serve and make the world a better place. The quote under that came directly out of one of the focus groups. The second point there, as you can see, connecting with our local and global community. So the idea of our connection being important. It's great to know that our membership really understands that. And the third piece, to encounter God daily. So everyone who was questioned, everyone who we spoke to, understood that this idea of a prayer life and a spiritual discipline is truly part of what it is to be Wesleyan. So as we're moving forward, I know you've heard us talk about the campaign for Rethink Church and what we're doing with That's Church and how we're trying to lift up what makes us distinct as United Methodists. What does our heritage mean? That's why we're connecting with History and Archives to help build some of these spots. We're working with our partner agencies to find their information and materials. And what's coming out of that, if you click ahead for me, one immediate thing that will affect you all and you'll be seeing coming up, this is what we currently look like as general agencies and other major initiatives of the church. And as you can see, if you were not from us or not part of the family, you might not know this was a family, right? So we're going forward. We have made a proposal. We've worked with another company to help us do something that's much more in line with what our denominational brand has been for the last 12 years. So we're all familiar with the Open Hearts. Will you click ahead? Simple, clear, and I'll just talk briefly to this point. So all of the agencies, now, so far at this point, we don't have formal agreement that they are all accepting them. We're still talking to everyone. Everyone's been in conversation about this. But what you can see here is abbreviations that are not acronyms. So we're no longer abbreviating down to GCFA, which only makes sense to people in this room and a handful of others. And instead, we're getting down to what do we really stand for? Then, of course, the full and legal name from the discipline, and then identifying ourselves clearly as agencies of the United Methodist Church. So you can go back and forth between the two slides. You can see how it all fit together. You can imagine that if we were producing brochures where you had to highlight several agencies, you would be able to then stack those versions, and it would be clean and simple, and we would not look like a NASCAR, but we would look like some group that was working together with some kind of harmony.
We're also going to be talking about how this rolls out for sub-brands and potentially for annual conferences and working with them. Understanding none of this is going to happen overnight, that you know there's going to be levels and degrees of adoption, but we're just going to do our best to present the clearest message to those people who are looking for the church so that they will find it when they're looking. And then if we could go ahead. Well, first of all, any questions there? This is a good stopping point. Yes. Okay, yes. So what we're going to do is we are going to be supplying this to everyone. We're also going to be working on a full brand standard that you'll have available to you if you're trying to build something off. And in this idea of sub-brands, we're going to give you suggestions for when that program comes to you and says, I want to start a new initiative, how do I tie it out? Because there are obviously lots of talented creative designers out there and graphic artists, and they're not trying to sort of dilute the waters. But if we could be more harmonious, if we could work more together, even on a simple element like visual statement, this helps us to present a fair picture. So yeah, we will be getting these materials out to you. All right, another question? Okay, we're gonna show one of the videos.
Spirits. That's community. Reaching out to neighbors to ensure basic needs are met. That's putting beliefs into action. That's church. Learn more at rethinkchurch.org. People.
Okay, so this is part of a series of spots, and what I want to say to you is we're developing along lots of different social principles. These are going to be available to you at annual conferences and to your churches. We're building customizable versions so that churches can put their own end tags on them, and they can have them for their websites and for their own social media use. And I'm going to show you one more because it's Advent, it's coming up, and we have the customizable of it ready. We've actually already taken orders from local churches for it, and free Advent resources are available to your churches. In fact, while we were meeting yesterday, 60 orders came into the office, and so that's what's happening now. Connecting back to what we're making as a brand that people start to recognize. Really not just saying, what if we rethink church, but offering them options of what church could look like and what we define as church. So, thanks.
Okay, thank you, Jen. Well, just to reintroduce myself to newcomers, I'm Tim Tanton, and I work with some of the content ministries at UMCOM. And as I hope you've been getting a sense of this afternoon, we are all about the annual conferences and local congregations, and we've been really refocusing a lot of the work that we're doing at UMCOM around being able to partner more effectively with you and engage people in the pews in more meaningful ways. And so what that means is that we've been refocusing a number of our ministries, including our Korean ministry. I know several of you have, or many of you actually have, prominent Korean congregations in your conferences. Our team of Jacob Lee and Youngjoo Kim has been in contact with pastors in the Korean community for the last year, and we are preparing to launch a new publication to serve congregations. We're also working on a digital app for Korean congregations. We're in the process of restaffing our Hispanic ministry so that we can more effectively engage with Hispanic-Latino congregations, which of course are so significant and will be increasingly significant in the life of the United Methodist Church going forward. Just a few words about some other things. United Methodist UMNS Update is a new service that we've rolled out just in the last few months. We've been doing a soft launch of it, and this was conceived out of conversations that that we've had with many of you about ways of, you know, how could we more effectively help you in your roles. We know that you have a lot on your plates. We know that in your conference publications, often you just, you know, you're all about telling the good local stories, and we've heard from many of you, you know, the need for global and connectional news. So we have, we've been rolling out UMNS Update. Our news editor, Maggie Hillary, has been working with several of you. She's been working really hard on developing out this product for us. We're very excited about it. This was conceived as a newsletter insert, but it's really kind of growing into something more than that. And we are really kind of putting it out as something that we want to be customizable, as Larry mentioned, to meet your needs. And so what that means is that I would like very much to hear from you about, you know, what are your needs and how can we most effectively help you provide connectional and global news to your congregations. So I would invite you to be in conversation with me this weekend and beyond. I think this is something that could be extremely helpful in every conference. And we will be using content from around the connection. So you know, so there again, that's another way that we're hoping to lift up good annual conference content. Interpreter Magazine, as Larry mentioned, is undergoing a relaunch. We're really zeroing in more on how can we make Interpreter part of the life for every active United Methodist. In addition to seeing a new print publication hit your doorsteps, we are moving into a much more robust and exciting digital expression of Interpreter. So it's going to be a more multimedia digital publication than what we've been able to field in the past. And Kathy Noble has been working on this. She sends her regrets. She wanted to be here with us this week, but realized late last week that her deadlines were going to require her to be at home. In fact, today she's been working on a deadline to get out the next issue of Interpreter, which will be a collaboration issue that we've been doing with the Board of Global Ministries. So these are just a few of the things that we're doing. We have a sign-up sheet here that I just want to pass around, and it's basically an opt-in sheet. We're producing so many resources out of UMCOM. I want to make sure that we're covering you with all the tools that you need. So if you could just take this sheet and indicate what you would like to receive that you're not currently receiving, please do that. There are boxes on here for the Daily Digest, for our newsletter MyCom, for Rethink Church resources and training info, and for Interpreter. And we feel that this is sort of a communications quadrilateral, if you will, from UMCOM. These are all essential resources that we think can really help you in your work. So, we have now moved to our Shop Talk Forum time, and this is a time that we wanted to carve out to have just some good brainstorming and discussion with you about challenges that you're facing and ways that we can work together more effectively. So, I know we've all been sitting down for quite a while this afternoon. Why don't we all stand up in place for a minute and just stretch. I don't want to allow anyone to leave the room. But if you just kind of, you know, take a deep breath and stretch a little bit. And what we're going to do this afternoon is, oh, that's no problem. what we're going to do this afternoon is we're going to start with sharing some successes and some triumphs, because what I know about annual conference communications is that the unwritten part of the job description is that you have to be innovators and creative people. And so we want to spend a few minutes talking about ways that you've been innovating in your conferences in the last year, and use this as a time to share some ideas that the rest of us might want to pick up on. So we're calling this It Worked For Me. If you're familiar with our It Worked For Us feature and interpreter, this is about what is happening in the annual conferences and what would you like to share. So if you've gotten a good stretch, you know, please feel free to sit back down, or, you know, hey, remain standing if you like. That's cool too. I have a couple of colleagues who are going to sort of help spark the conversation here. This is all about some best practices and some creative things that you've innovated with in your areas that you found some good success with. So can I call on you, Lisa, to share?
I'm actually part of, technically, I think, four conferences at the moment, because I'm working for Kansas East and Kansas West, I'm working with Nebraska, and we're working toward the Great Plains. So that's presented us with a number of challenges. I'm not even going to tell you how many Twitter accounts, Facebook profiles, websites, etc., that I am involved with, because it would just make your head hurt. It makes mine. But one of the things that we've been working on in the last year is really how we use technology to shrink distances. One of our challenges is that Kansas West was gifted with Polycom video conferencing equipment. Nebraska made the decision to purchase video conferencing equipment and went with a different vendor, and that has presented us with a ton of challenges in trying to connect it all. But some of our more successful things, one of the first things we did after Bishop Jones came back to Kansas and inherited Nebraska as well, was we changed up a daily devotion that Nebraska had been doing and incorporated Kansas churches and clergy in it as well. We sent a daily devotion out to all of our clergy and anyone else who signs up for it, that features three pastors, one from each of the three conferences. It links back to the conference websites, to the church profile pages, and to those pastors' email addresses. We get a lot of really great feedback about how that's helping to foster relationship. We have a pretty large piece of geography, and people don't know each other very well, and that has been a tremendous thing that we have done in the past year. Another way we've been trying to shrink distances, as many of the conferences are, we're working on becoming more vital congregations. And what our cabinet did was kind of target some of those churches that were right on the bubble between being termed vital congregations and not being vital congregations. Some that were just really, really close to meeting those statistical standards, and invited them to participate in a learning process together from January through May. It actually ended up being June. We had an instructor with a vertigo issue, and so we had to postpone for a month. What we did was we identified sites across Kansas and Nebraska where we could gather teams of people from a local church, and we live web streamed to them an hour-long presentation from someone. The bishop was one of them. We had five presenters who actually presented to a video camera and two people in a room. We're working on improving that. We have a church with a coffee shop in downtown Wichita. We're hoping to have a group that will gather there. And we'll originate three of the live streams from there this next year. But what was really cool was you had the hour of content, and then they had 2 hours of facilitated conversation. And then some of the congregations decided that they would continue on in that process and move to a next stage of learning with a coach. And so our job was to make sure that that technology worked, which most of the time it did. The one glitch that we had was one time my recording didn't work, and so we ended up having to have the presenter do their presentation again at a later time. But otherwise, we were able to record it and then post the archives so that the teens could then go back and work with their own congregations and re-show those presentations to those classes. We have also, thanks to a connection with United Methodist Communications, had Adobe Connect licensing for a number of years. And our Hispanic Ministries has been using that to train leaders. We've also integrated it into our certified lay ministry courses, which we do predominantly online using Moodle. Again, thank you, UMCOM. But some of the instructors wanted to have a little bit more personal one-on-one kind of time with our students. And so they've been planning weekly Adobe Connect meetings in addition to the online classwork. And that's been really, really cool. And I think the best success story that I have a couple of new district superintendents. And one of them is in one of my larger districts in Western Kansas. And he asked me, is there a way that I can have a meeting with all of my pastors, go through all of the church conference forms, and not have to have them drive 2 and 3 hours for what I think is probably going to be a 90-minute meeting? I said, well, let's use Adobe Connect. Saves me the 3 hour or 6 hour or whatever round trip drive out to Dodge City to help you out. Let's get on the phone and do this. So he and I practiced. And then just before he was going to do it, he'd been on practicing all morning, and he called me and he said, okay, I have two questions. So we walked him through his two questions, and then he went online and he did it. And I kind of kept it open in the background so if he got in trouble, I could go in and rescue him. And the only thing he forgot to do was hit record, so I got him recording. He was good to go. What he told me in advance, and this is really key because I've never had a district superintendent who had this attitude toward it before, he said, don't worry, Lisa. If it doesn't go perfect this time, I'm not going to be afraid to try again. I've never had anybody tell me that when they were using technology. And so I told him, I said, be sure if this goes at all well, that you tell your colleagues about this. I had 3 emails before the end of the day asking me, so, Can I use this in my part of the conference? I'm like, yeah. So I may have some more district superintendents to train, but that was probably the best success. And I've actually got 2 emails while it's here saying, what's the link to that? I want to watch it because I missed it. So.
All right, great. Thank you, Lisa. Hey, we're going to be sharing some great ideas in here, so if you hear things that get you excited, be sure to tweet about them, for all of our colleagues who aren't here today. So, Neil, would you mind also sharing with us?
Why, sure, Tim. We have a monthly magazine in Virginia that I happen to be editor of, and since I have been there, I'm in my 8th year, I guess, and the number for subscriptions has a steady but slow downward spiral since I've been there. And our board this past year approved us hiring on a contract basis a person to promote subscriptions and advertising for the magazine. First time we've ever done that. Normally with advertising we just get whatever comes over the transom and shows up, and so we've never really made a proactive effort to go after advertising or subscribers for that matter, really. So we hired a guy who had gotten laid off at the local Cokesbury store when it closed, and is somebody who was well known in the conference already. He was a clergy spouse, and he was very gung-ho about it. In fact, he's kind of deluged Linda and myself with emails every time he gets an idea. But, that's great. We were like, go ahead, do it. And so he came up with an idea the late spring that we would tie all our receipts for subscriptions to our annual conference offering. And we said, huh, that's a pretty good idea. And I really think this probably could be applicable to other things as well. But we said, yeah, that's a pretty good idea. So we started publicizing that, and it got a tremendous response. We were really blown away by the response it got. People felt like if they could, you know, contribute to the annual conference offering while renewing their subscription or getting a new subscription, that it was kind of an added value, an extra bonus. And so we were blown away. And for the first time in my years in Virginia, that number started going up in June during our annual conference month. And I mean, it's remarkable that in this era where print is disappearing, that we're all of a sudden gaining subscribers. And really is because of our guy's idea. And so in the fall, we do our campaign where we have sent out material about renewing subscriptions to our local churches. In the last couple of years, we've done a e-version of that where we've sent everything electronically, and we've gotten a fairly poor response. So this year, we said, let's go old school, use the post office, and we arranged packet, and we had several brainstorming sessions with the whole staff where we kicked ideas around, and we came up with a theme, and our wonderful designer came up with a great logo, and so we tied all this together, and our promoter again stepped up and said, I have another idea. Let's tithe 10% of everything that we take in during our fall campaign to UMCOR, to honor Denise Honeycutt, who's a Virginia pastor, who is the new director of disaster response. And again, we've gotten a great response from people who want to do that. They want to give to UMCOR while also renewing their subscription. So these are things where we've involved several different groups. We've had the whole staff kind of come together to talk about this and how we can do it. And it's been a great success. And again, I give credit to our board for being visionary enough to think that this would be something that would be helpful to us. And so far, it's worked out really well. So, thanks, Tim.
That's sort of counterintuitive, isn't it? But that's fabulous. Other ideas?
I did have another question. Our IT person has said that since GBGM has taken down the website hosting, that you all are now offering. Is that true that you're offering website hosting for local churches?
Yes, that is true. And it actually launched in July. And so far, I don't want to misquote the number, but we have several hundred already that have signed up and are working through us. It's a templated system. You can find it at umcchurches.org. And if we had Wi-Fi, I would pull it up right now, but umcchurches.org, you'll see if there's different levels of, I was just being.
Do you have $1,500?
I know, I was thinking out loud instead of censoring myself as I was like, oh, I would do that now. Okay, but if you go there and look, you'll see there's all sorts of levels. The first level is obviously the free one. It's Find a Church. And we're working right now actively to improve what the Find a Church profile looks like so that it can include pictures and video and all the things the churches have been asking us for all this time. Also, on a first-come, first-served basis, churches who are using their Find a Church profile like that can get a custom URL. So obviously, if you're First Church UMC in your area, you're going to have to be one of the first ones to get on board with this, because that's probably going to get taken. But, you know, and if you're Grace UMC or something like that, but we will be able to do custom URLs right to your Find a Church. So that's a free option that's available, and then there's different tiers. And the top tier, even being something that allows you to fully customize, fully work through it, but if you don't have that kind of web background or that kind of skill within your church, then you can take one of these templated ones. It'll be much easier.
Thank you. Other questions?
I want to follow up on that. If you announced it in July, why am I just hearing it now?
Were you reading your email?
No. It did have a soft launch, but we have been pushing it out there. And it's been, I think, in Roy, wasn't it in your...
Patrick has said he wants to let the soft launch be tested first before...
It hasn't been announced.
Oh.
Okay. We, you know, we sent letters to everybody who was currently under the GBGM platform, and we started migrating those first because obviously they were going to be up against it because those servers got turned off on September 30th. And so you'll probably be hearing more and more about it. But it is out there, and I know that we're starting to talk about it. I think we've been talking about it a lot with people who are calling and asking us, and we've been talking about it at trainings. So I think that we're in a place now we're going to be able to start, you know.
So if I put it on the Virginia Conference website, because I've been getting a lot of phone calls, people in
the doors are open. Anyone can come and register right now. Yes, the doors are open.
Wonderful.
But for future reference, that would have been a nice thing for us to have known, because as churches from our conference are calling us, asking us about it, and we say, no, that's not going on, because we haven't been told about it, and we looked at it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's great to hear, and that really kind of intersects with a conversation that that Neil and I were actually having earlier today about how can we communicate in a richer way with one another, in a more meaningful way. So we're going to work on that at UMCOM, and because there are a lot of things that we do have going on. You've got kind of the tip of the iceberg here with the presentation. But there are a lot of things that we do have going on that we would like to be apprising you of, in addition to things like, you know, special projects that we might be working on, you know, stories that we're trying to develop, as well as projects that we would very much like to collaborate with you on and get your input and partnership around. So we're going to come up very quickly with a way that we can do that and you know, give you more of a heads up on things. I know when we're doing special emphases through United Methodist News Service or Interpreter Magazine, those are things that we really do want to be letting you know of farther in advance. And hopefully that will enable you to kind of plan some of the things that you write about or focus on in your conferences, and maybe we can get some synergy going for you with that. So. Anne-Marie, did you?
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, it would have been a good heads up, too, that they were not going to have the GBM website anymore. So also, I was getting calls, and now I'm putting two and two together. Like, my website just disappeared. I'm like, well, your host, I don't know. And then our new men, they can't get on it because the person that set it up, apparently, well, he died over the summer. So the email went to him, which is no email.
Yeah.
So it's frustrating for a couple people, and I don't. I need to know who to tell them, who they should contact, or if they should just go right to churches.org.
We were also feeling some of what you're describing, in that when we finally learned the number of websites that were to be migrated, they were, quite literally, there were a few thousand. And we weren't sure for a long time whether those could actually be migrated. Then we found not only were there a few thousand, but that some of them were dead. They had never been used. And so we couldn't sort through which needed to be migrated because they were live, and which needed to be dropped because they were dead. And you risk, in that situation, you know, offending folks or losing things. And so it was not the most smooth transition, I think. And a part of what we were also concerned about, what I was concerned about, and I said to staff, look, before we do this, let's make sure we've got the server horsepower to do it. The worst thing that could happen is that we agree to do this, we make it published, we publish it, and then it crashes and we don't have the horsepower to do it. So I appreciate the feedback that you're giving. I also appreciate what Tim is saying is, let's, between us, figure out a way that we can do more of this kind of conversation when we have concerns like this, whether it's through a monthly webinar or every couple of months we get together online to identify some of those issues that affect both of us that we need to know about. And we're very open to that. I'm very open to that. And I think we're all very approachable so that we prevent circumstances like the one that we're in right now, where we're doing something you don't know about it. It affects you, it affects your local churches, and but that you also understand the constraints that we're working under. And I'm not trying to say that anyone did anything here that was in any sense negative. It was just that the circumstances were what they were, and we were trying to adapt. The alternative was for no one to pick those websites up.
And for that, I'd really like to thank you, because when I first heard that GBGM was going away and I was getting phone calls, and I thought, what the heck are we going to tell people? And I just started hearing through the grapevine. So for that, I'm very grateful to UNCOM for stepping up to the plate and taking that, because I'm sure it is not. I know it's hard enough for me to deal with one website, you know, let alone that host. So thank you very much on top of, you know,
There's a funny little thing. Our web servers require unique air conditioning because they are so large, and we had to adapt, and it's expensive. And for a year, I said, no, we can't afford to do that. And they said, okay, but unless we keep these things cool, they're going to go down, and then we're going to be out of business altogether. And so we are adapting our building to be able to accommodate this. And I can tell you, if you all came and visited us, where our servers are located right now, before we started making these changes, we had portable fans, and we had the door open, and we had folks running in to check the room temperature, and things like that. And I began to see, through my thick skin and my tight pocketbook, we really can't operate unless we make these changes. So we're doing that.
Well, I want to swim in the same vein of websites for a couple of minutes. We all, I think, have had people come to us and say, we need help with the website. And through then with conversation with Patrick over the last, I don't know, 7 or 8 months, maybe longer than that, we entered in a contractual relationship so that we are going to fund 25 websites through our annual conference. We've done other things in the past for grants. As you know, Iowa's got a huge state fair, so for a long time there was an Iowa annual conference presence at the state fair, and that was nice, but that was, you know, the return for that was pretty slim, other than it kind of felt nice for people who were already United Methodists to say, we've got a booth at the state fair. And then we did some one-off kind of grants, and they were all right, and we invited people 3 months later to tell us what they had done with the grants, and they were anywhere between $500 and maybe $1,500. And of the 17 grants that we gave out, even after multiple proddings and requests and emails and even hard copy letters, we had 2.5 reports sent back to us. One fellow walked in the office and said, give me a piece of paper and a ballpoint pen, and scratched something out and said, here's my report. So then we went to Plan C at that point. And we're going to fund 25 congregations for the website, and actually, we're going to do it for a two-year basis. So we'll get them up and running for the first year, and then maintain that for the second year, and then after that, if it's important enough, they'll have to pick up the freight. But we have used a significantly smaller portion of what we had expended previously for our state fair presence. And significantly smaller than the other grants, and yet now we are in the process of getting 25 annual conferences up with websites that they either had sites that went dead because we're just of what we were just talking about, or because they had just different other sites that didn't go anywhere. So I'm hoping to work the budget such that then maybe next year we can get another 25 up and have 25 and 25 on a rotating basis.
Art can tell you too that it was the plan,
and Patrick is also the person who can give you more detail about it. He has been working on this for a number of months, and it was supposed to be up sooner. You know how technology goes, but we've worked on this, and so we weren't able to launch this quickly. We wanted to soft launch the biannual conference. It could be in full readiness to go out there to everyone. But
Jennifer, what was the website again?
I just tweeted it out.
But umcchurches.org.
How are you picking your 25 churches, Art?
We invited superintendents to make suggestions, and we have resource people on our district called field outreach ministers, And thirdly, as some congregations began to hear about it, or in conversations that we had had because people had called up and said, what do? We want to have a website. And they were most often the kind of question like, we want to have a website. Should we start off with an earth tone or a blue kind of homepage? And we backed it up to say, you know, all the preliminaries that we all could spell out. So and thankfully with the overt suggestion of Bishop to the point of cabinet to be sensitive to racial ethnic congregations and a new church starts, emerging faith communities, I should say. So we probably going to oversubscribe our 25 and we come back at you and say we need to buy some more spaces.
And that would be great.
Yeah.
Hey, one last thing on websites. I'm sorry, while we're talking about it.
Training is also taking the web ministry course. I don't know how many of you are familiar with it, but it's needed some updating. And Patrick is going to, at some point in 2014, it's on his schedule, he wants to rework that and let it be a course that would guide a church through actually setting up and building their website and using the platform so that someone could purchase one of these URLs, have the platform, and then fully be trained on how to run it and operate it for their church. So that is also coming in next year.
All right, what is your one other thought?
Okay, sure.
And a whole different subject. We've had quite a number of people come to us and ask about a mobile app. So we had created a mobile app for us, contracted with an outfit called DoxyWorks. Now, this is not necessarily in keeping with what's advertised here, but we had an extraordinarily positive experience with Katie Fletcher. And we had, from first conversation to rollout, about 3.5 weeks. And it's fully functional. We rolled it out for the annual conference session, and it's had a lot of traffic in a variety of ways. So I just want to affirm, we wonder sometimes, well, what's the point of having a mobile app? Do we have one? What's the track record with, do we have to have somebody out there do all the modifications and adaptations? In our case, it's as simple a change as if we were to go and create a new Word document. So it's been a very worthwhile experience.
All right, thank you, Mark. Okay, we have about 5 minutes left, and so what we're going to do is, I think we've kind of already been going through our sounding board time here and sharing some challenges. I'd like to go right to our last item of business for the Shop Talk Forum, and that is have some discussion about ways that we can work more effectively with you. We've already identified some of those, of course, but what are some felt needs that you have that you would like to share with us that we can work on at UNCOM? And let's see, we'll do Lisa first, and then Mark, I see, has something to share as well.
I'm just wondering, since you're most of the annual conferences, in addition to UNC.org, have church locators as part of their sites, and we've worked really hard on ours. We have photos of every church in Kansas on both of our sites. So I guess my thing is information sharing so that churches aren't entering in both places. That is a huge issue because I don't tell them to go to you. To be frank, I don't tell them to go to you. If you look for Kansas United Methodist Church, my sites come up before yours does. And so to me, it's important that my sites have that information so that somebody's looking for something in a community. I know from searching for churches online in Kansas that my sites come up before you do. And so how do we find ways to share that information so that they're not having to do it multiple times?
Every church, you have a picture of every church, you are my hero. I will have to take that back to the Find a Church tech team, and we will figure out a way that we can pull that information, because that will be a gift, I know, to the team that's been working this out. And
I think we have almost all the Nebraska ones, too, but I know we have Kansas, because I've taken 80% or so.
Good to know.
And I guess the dilemma just comes in that when we run advertising, we can't point off to every other URL, so I have to have some central space. And so that's why.
So it's the information.
But I agree, we need to figure that out. And I will say that Finance Church is going through an upgrade right now, and I know Danny and the IT team are working on that, so we'll bring back this feedback. We are in construction right now. So those upgrades that I was talking about with the photos and the videos, that's in process. And so we'll talk more.
Okay. And Mark.
Yeah. So I just, I know I've shared some of this privately and with many of you, and I want to share it on a more public forum as well. Coming out of the experience in Michigan, which is a large state, takes you about 11 hours to drive from the southern end to the northern end of the UP, I've started working with Detroit and West Michigan, having monthly Adobe Connect meetings with each of the district administrators. The people who sit by themselves, alone most of the time, rarely seeing their DSs, but who make all of our local churches work. And the transformation that we've seen in that experience has been remarkable. The willingness of the districts to get on board to help carry out initiatives is amazing, what has turned around from just being connected. And so I'm reminded that we are a connectional church, but we rarely connect as communicators. This is pretty much it, once a year. So the one thing I guess I would encourage is I really welcome the opportunity for an environment to be built where we as communicators can share with one another. But the one thing I would encourage you to do is to not do mass meetings. In the few times that we've had, like Larry, you've hosted a number of those, we'll have 53 people on that Adobe Connect call, and you'll ask for questions, and there's crickets. And we know people are watching, but people don't want us, you know, be engaged. And so I think there is value in creating small group settings rather than mass group communication settings so that we can both build fellowship and cooperation with our colleagues and also give you the opportunity to share important information with us that we know you want to get out. So just be my one recommendation.
Thank you. That's very helpful.
Oh, there you are. One thing that we talked about beginning to do is, if nothing else, having jurisdictional meetings with communicators. We know that the larger groups are difficult to maintain, so if we can have smaller group meetings and maybe 3 or 4 times a year, we could do that. But
I've had this position, I think, for whopping maybe 5 weeks. So in transitioning off of the UMC.org team, and I say that only from the standpoint that we are just now at the place where we're starting to figure out what's the best way. So we ask a little bit of patience on your part, but we certainly welcome any suggestions you have. Again, the jurisdictions seem to make the most sense. I am open to any possibility of communicating with you, and again, as one of the other things about this role, Greg in particular, is that it puts me now on visitation to several, in fact, just about every team at UMCOM. So now I will be the person, or my team will be the team, that will be sort of the liaison between you, so that if there's another situation, like we've had with websites, or there's some other activity you want me to know about, or there's something else coming down, we'll actually have a channel or several channels to communicate with you. So again, thank you for these suggestions. They're very, very helpful. It helps me prioritize my work as soon as I get back to Nashville. So again, thank you for your suggestions.
Okay, thanks, Kate. All right, well, we are sadly out of time, so let me just do a couple of things here. First, I want to invite you sincerely to please collar us in the halls or follow up with us after you get back home, because we really want to continue these conversations. We want to hear from you. What we do is really done totally in collaboration, or we attempt to make it totally in collaboration with you. So let's keep our community strong, and please let us hear your thoughts on some of the ideas that we've shared, some of the concerns that have been raised here, and let's go forward arm in arm together. Secondly, please, if you have one of the opt-in sheets, just leave it on the table at the back as you leave. And finally, one last service item, if you will, from UMCOM. I've heard from a number of folks about the need for photos, especially, we talked about the need for, photos from disaster zones and so on. United Methodist Communications and the Board of Global Ministries have collaborated on a new system for how we manage all sorts of content. We call it our digital assets management system. And that's kind of an internal thing, but what's important for you to know is that we will be able to more effectively respond to photo needs, and we would also like to invite you to share your images, your videos, your even, you know, some advertising materials possibly, but things that that you think would be of value to the broader connection. Please share those with us, and as you do, please make sure that they're identified in terms of when the content was created, who is in it, if it's a photograph, caption information is extremely important. I think Katz Berry on our team has been in touch with many of you about some of these things. We are totally about being in partnership with you. We want to share content from you and with you and out to the broader denomination, so please help us do that. And I think this new system that we have adopted is going to help us work with you more effectively as well.